17 minutes away from 8 o'clock on a Wednesday morning. I'm Bill Small. Heat advisory till 8 o'clock tonight. How unusual. Heat advisory. It's been a while since we've had one. Yesterday, I think. Yeah, okay. It's supposed to get up to 102 today. And we've got Wendy Powell from K-State Research and Extension. Usually you guys tag team here, but today it's a solo match.
Yeah.
So it seems to be thus far. You wanted to start out with some announcements?
Yeah. Good morning.
Some
Thanks
events.
For having me.
Yes. Always. Always love having you here.
Thanks. Yeah, we've got several fun things going on. I'm looking at our district website right now. So we've got a food preservation class coming up in Altamont on the 9th. I think that's this week.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Girard on the 11th. So anybody that wants to take part in that, they do need to pre-register. So there's plenty of supplies on hand. The ServeSafe. Oh, sorry, that one's already passed. The Soil Health Conference is coming up on the 11th. And that's going to be a program that has some field tours and then a program in the afternoon. So you'll actually be able to get some boots on the ground and, and look around at what some folks are doing and then have some experts to visit with the in that afternoon. And then in September 17th, want folks to get this on their calendar. At our Parsons Research Station, we're going to be doing a Makers Fair and Extension Expo. So folks can kind of get a look and a feel for what all the different program areas are that Extension does and all the fun things that we can offer, as well as inviting vendors to that event. So hopefully you can maybe do some early Christmas shopping or get connected with some local folks that are doing some interesting things.
Okay, this will be where again?
That will be at the Parsons Research Station.
Excellent.
They're on 400.
Okay, and where can folks go to get more information about these events?
Nearly all of our events are advertised on our Facebook page, but also there's links to the flyers and all of those good connections on our website, Wildcat District, kstate.edu.
Okay. And we chatted a little bit before we turned on the microphones and everything, and you wanted to discuss the topic of nitrate toxicity to start off here this morning. And tell me if I'm heading in the right direction with this. With a lot of cornfields being basically terminated, farmers, producers are thinking about using corn for silage, and you really need to watch the nitrate levels in that because you could be harming the moo cows by giving them the high nitrate corn silage.
Yes, that's exactly right. So there is a lot of failed corn this year, and I have talked to several producers that are wanting to put that into silage. And so there's two different worries, prussic acid and nitrates. And nitrates, whenever you chop, whenever you kill a plant, whether that's through drought or by harvesting it, the nitrates that are in it are locked in it.
Right.
Whatever's there is going to be there. So we know that nitrates are mostly accumulated in the bottom parts of the plant, closer to the soil level. So as the as you move up the stem, there's going to be a lower concentration.
Mm-hmm.
So what we need to know is how high do we harvest that failed corn? Or what kind of stubble do we need to leave in the field to make that safe for our livestock? So I've got a quick test that we can do in the field. And if we go, you know, above the mower height of your hay harvester, then we probably need to get that corn stalk tested.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can identify where in that corn stalk the concentration levels are not so high, then it's safer to feed to your livestock. If the nitrates are high, there are still management techniques that you can adopt to go ahead and use that as feed. So the catchphrase that I like to use is dilution is the solution to the pollution.
That would look nice on a pillow.
Yes. The pollution is nitrates. The solution is going to be adding other feeds and forages to those potentially toxic plant parts to get an animal a variety of nutrition.
Right.
So if you have something that's high in nitrates, there are you can add other forages to it and mix it, makes it more of a total mixed ration. Or I have the table here in front of me on the level of forage nitrates and their potential effect on animals. So we can have these plants tested, and plants that have up to 3,000 parts per million nitrates, they're still considered safe.
Mm-hmm. What's the unsafe level?
The unsafe level is 6,000. Mm. So that small range, 3,000 to 6,000, it's moderately safe, but we don't want to use that for stressed animals.
Right.
But 6,000 to 9,000, potentially toxic, depending on the situation, and it should not be the only feed source. So that's where we want to make for sure we're getting our dilution in.
Mm-hmm.
And then 9,000 parts per million and above is dangerous to cattle and will often cause death.
It's been such a beastly year. I mean, you can't count on your hay harvest because it's all withered and dead. Your corn is, well, we had James Coover here last week saying basically any rain we get now is too late.
Yes.
It'll help the soybeans, but it's not going to help so much with the corn because the corn is kaput. And really the only choice the producer has, I would guess, would be to terminate the crop and use it for silage.
Yep.
Yeah. What does nitrate do to...
So that's an interesting question. Nitrates, they're in every plant, and people and animals will metabolize those naturally. But after a plant is eaten, the rumen, which we know people are monogastrics, hogs are monogastric.
I've always
horses.
Been proud of that.
Yes.
I like to, I'm monogastric. Did you know that? Yeah.
But our small ruminants, sheep and goats, cattle, they have rumens, and that rumen bacteria rapidly reproduces the nitrates in the forage to nitrates. So the nitrates are then converted to ammonia, and that's used by the rumen microorganisms as a nitrogen source. So small amounts are natural.
Right.
But the problem becomes when the nitrate intake is faster, those plants have a higher level of nitrates, then the rumen can break it down to ammonia.
Mm.
So that's when the stuff starts to accumulate in that rumen. And then it's rapidly absorbed into the bloodstream where it, bunch of big words here, converts hemoglobin to methemoglobin, blah, 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 that. And then the red blood cells can't transport oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially the animal is asphyxiated.
Right.
Because that oxygen is
not getting to the cells, right?
Yes. So what's interesting is whenever you have an animal that has nitrate toxicity, we know that the blood is a different color than, like I had mentioned
earlier.
Because
the hemoglobin gives you the red color.
Yes.
Right.
So it's kind of a chocolate brown.
Yeah.
And with prussic acid, another toxicity problem we'll talk about in a minute, that symptom is a bright cherry red, bright, bright red.
Mm-hmm.
So it tends to be confusing with nitrate toxicity, oxygen not being transported, but with prussic acid, the oxygen is transported, but the blood can't give it over to the body cells.
It can't be released, exactly, yes. Which is why the blood stays bright red, because yes. It's caught in the cells.
That's exactly mm-hmm. right. So they have a lot of the same symptoms in the animal, and the drought-stressed plants are, you know, they're drought-stressed. So
right.
It's the same symptoms that lead up to the problems, but it's like the exact opposite toxicity.
Right, yeah. But they're both deadly.
Yes.
Yeah. And only you, as the producer, can really get a handle on that, and that's with the help of folks like Wendy here from K-State. Tell me more about prussic acid. Where is that? Where does that come from?
Yeah, so prussic acid naturally is in plants like grain sorghums, forage sorghums. Johnson grass is a big one. Shatter cane. I don't know that we have much shatter cane around here. Sedan grass. And then hybrids of all of those. So grain sorghums, I'm sorry, I already said that. Hybrid per millet and foxtail millet are generally not too worried about that. But Indian grass is a native that we need to worry about. Flax, choke cherry, black cherry, elderberry. Some of those can cause some toxicities. So prussic acid essentially is hydrocyanic acid, hydrogen cyanide,
right,
that the plant produces, and typically the plant automatically just processes that and it's not a big deal.
Right.
It's a natural reaction. But when a plant is drought stressed, then those concentration levels in the leaves get to be too much. So again, there's always management options, like not putting animals out whenever there's a risk. Make for sure that any plant species you have, you're just keeping an eye on. Never turn animals out that are hungry.
Right, because they'll eat anything.
Yes, yeah. they'll gorge.
Yes. Sort of like me at a buffet. Yes.
Yeah, so we want to just make for sure that we're following the protocols and using caution because animals are expensive.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, let alone, you know, the animal care mm-hmm. aspect of all of that.
The veterinary bills through the roof.
Yes. Yep. So feed hay or grain before you're turning your cattle out to pasture. And if you've got areas that you need to get your animals out in a pasture, but you have areas you're concerned about, it's easy enough to throw up an electric fence. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and block that off. But then after a light frost or after a rain that has ended a drought.
Right.
So we got a
little sprinkling the other day. Yeah,
it was a tease.
Yeah, just not enough to really end a drought, just to make you think, so this is what water from the sky feels like.
Yeah, just enough to make the trucks dirty again.
Yeah.
That was not a drought-ending rain.
No,
so
nowhere near.
When we have drought-ending rains, both with prussic acid and nitrates, then the plants actually start regrowing again, and so they're taking in all of those soil nutrients a lot faster than they have been the last weeks or months, mm-hmm. depending on how long the drought has been going on. And then all of a sudden, that plant cannot process all of that as quickly as it needs to.
Mm-hmm.
So those drought-ending rains, light frosts, you just want to wait a couple of weeks for nitrates before you put cattle out on that or any livestock. And with prussic acid, it's more like 4 or 5 days.
Like I told James Coover when he was last week, I don't know how any producer, any farmer gets any sleep at night with all the things there are to worry about with and you're always delightful. A couple of weeks ago, you're in here telling me about hemlock, and now here we are talking about nitrates and prussic acid, and I don't want to let my cats out of the house anymore because who knows what they're going to eat out there. Now, when we come back after the top of the hour break, we're going to talk about the drought stress management for pastures because the pastures are drought stressed.
Yes.
As is everybody else. So we're chatting with Wendy Powell from K-State Research and Extension back. Fifteen minutes after 8 o'clock here in the Mighty 690. I'm Bill Small. It's a small world. Heat advisory until 8 o'clock tonight. And here to tell us what that means to the producers, the people with the yellow fields and the thirsty and hungry animals, Wendy Powell from K-State Extension. We're going to talk about how to manage drought-stressed fields and livestock and that sort of thing. And you can't just throw your hands in the air and say, oh, well, my field's scorched. Ain't nothing to do now but wait till the rain. You got to take these matters into your own two hands and do something, right?
Yes, that's exactly right. If you choose not to manage the drought-stressed pastures, that's one management technique.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of...
Is it a viable management technique? Is that something...
Not if you want to continue in production.
Right. If you want to become an accountant or move into the city.
Yes, for sure.
Right.
So with fertilizer prices this year, a lot of pastures did not get fertilized. And those pastures now are experiencing drought.
Mm.
And so it's been a double whammy for the soil this year. And I'm seeing it in my own pasture. There's the plant crowns are farther apart than I'd like to see. There's more soil surface than I for sure want to see. And so there's some strategies that we can talk about to maybe set us up for a better next year rather than just ignoring the problem and sticking our head in the drought stress sand.
In the sand, which there's plenty of now. And that's basically what we're talking about. Forget this year. We're setting up for a more successful next year. Because who knows, is this going to be a situation like in the teens? You know, we had a multi-year drought?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we sure don't want that, but if it happens, we need to be prepared for it. So something that we can do right now is to go ahead and maybe early wean calves. Calves that are 5 months old can be weaned, and they can do fairly well, especially if they've been introduced to grain, if you've been creep feeding, or if the calves get their head in the feed bunk with the cows when you feed them.
This isn't something they're going to have to talk about with a cow psychologist down the road or something that they're weaned too early or anything.
Nope, they'll be just fine.
They'll be just fine, okay.
They need just a little bit of TLC from the producer, but go ahead and move those calves off the pasture. And we know that moving calves off the pasture up to 6 weeks early will give the cow another week of grazing.
Mm-hmm.
So
Without the stress of having to feed the little one.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so the cow's nutritional needs are going to drop. Even if she's bred and carrying a calf, she's not carrying, she's not lactating at the same time.
Right, she's not carrying one to come and feeding the one that came earlier this year.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So that's going to reduce her nutritional needs, and then your pasture can last just a little bit longer. You can go ahead and cull some cows. Go ahead and cull the
herd.
End.
Yeah.
And just keep your high value animals, whether that's some a critter that you've been building genetics for a long, long time. Or another strategy is to go ahead and start feeding more. Feeding more grain, feed hay early, which...
If you have any.
Yeah, we are in a hay shortage. I was looking at hay prices yesterday on the Kansas Hay Report, and the prices jumped $30 a ton.
Not surprised.
On native grass. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're up to $110 a ton on native grass in big round bales. So if you want to start feeding hay early, that's fine. You can do that, but hay supplies are going to be low. And then maybe you talk to your neighbor about, finding more pasture, or instead of mowing lawns, you put up some electric fence in the in the front yard and go ahead and
keep the neighbor kids out.
There you go. So there's some different things that you can do to increase the nutritional offerings. But it's not always economical.
Right.
So early weaning livestock, selling your culls early, those are all strategies that can put some money in your pocket right now and hopefully give you a chance to get ahead for the next drought. So that's something that we really need to look toward. We know drought will come.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of when.
Right. Isn't it here?
Right now, yes, we are in a drought.
Right,
but even in even when we're getting all kinds of rain
in a wet year, you want to start preparing for the next drought, is what you're saying.
Yeah, we don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but at the same time, we need to be reasonable and make for sure that we're going to be productive in all weather patterns.
Mm-hmm. And so, as a city boy, when you're thinking about culling the herd, what are you looking for as to which cows you're going to cull out and what you're going to keep?
Yeah, that's a great question. So some of the high...
I don't like your attitude. You're out of here.
That's exactly right. Attitude is one of the biggest because accidents happen, and a lot of, in our area, producers work alone. They're in the feed truck by themselves. And so an animal with an attitude...
You go bye-bye.
Yeah, that could be a big problem.
You go butcher store now.
So disposition is a big one. Productivity is the other big one. So if she's not able to...
I said, I ate a steak last night. It seemed like it might have been an angry cow at one point.
Can tell.
I taste a little anger in here, Diane.
So production is the other big factor. If she's not been able to raise a calf, or if she doesn't milk well.
She's not pulling her weight.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly. If she's not able to keep up with the rest of your herd, then that's a factor that's going to affect your bottom line.
Yeah.
So you don't want to keep her or keep her daughters.
Right. Oh, the daughters. That's genetic. That's genetic. Yeah.
Yes.
We all know families like that.
Yeah, yes, crazy runs deep in the bones.
Yes.
Some other factors can be poor udders. You know, if the calf is born, but the udder gets to be, the teats get to be so large, the calf can't get their mouth around them. That can be a factor. If a cow, or this can go for any livestock, like I said, the production attitude, there's another big one, but it's not coming to mind right now, Bill.
You'll sit up at 2 o'clock in the morning and go, that's what it was.
Yes. Yeah. There's lots of reasons to call animals. Age, that's what
age,
it was.
Right? Age, right. Old granny cow over there. Okay, you've had a good run, sweetie. But
yeah. And a lot of times those will be kept for sentimental reasons.
You're off to the rendering plant.
But whenever we're looking at our bottom line, that's what we have to consider, or drought conditions.
Right. And you talk about getting ready for the next drought by the things you plant.
Yes. So if you are able to get seed to germinate, and right now you definitely don't want to be throwing seed out.
No matter how you talk to them, they're just not going to germinate.
That's right. Yeah. So we want to make for sure that we're offering a variety of plants to our animals. And that's going to prepare our pastures for drought. So planting legumes in amongst our grasses, so clovers, common lespediza, Korean lespediza, any of those legumes that are going to fix nitrogen, and we can go into a whole soil health deal here if you're really interested in that. Come on the 11th to our soil health program.
Right.
But a variety is the spice of life and also the keeper of pastures. So plant a variety.
You're full of sayings today. I like that.
Yeah, I just made that one up too.
Very good. That'll go on the pillow next to that other one you had.
Yeah, pollution is the dilution.
Yeah, the solution to the pollution or whatever.
There you go. Dilution is the pollution to the...
Dilution is the solution to the pollution.
I need a pillow.
I'd help you through it.
There you go. Yeah. Thank you.
Start crocheting that dude right away.
So anyway, planting a variety of legumes and grasses to offer will also help with the nutrition in the soil, the nutrients in the soil. And then we also want to look at offering cool and warm season forages. So that's why there's a lot of pasture rotation. You know, we have our native grasses that grow in the warm season, Bermuda, things like that. But then in the cool season, we can grow some fescue. We can grow orchard grass, which is a native. Brome. Sometimes it won't grow down here where it gets so hot in the summer times. But up in Wilson County, there's a lot of brome producers. So planting that variety so that we have different uses for all of the nutrients in the soil. And then we can also have fresh forage at all times of the year. That is key.
Well, it's never too early to start planning for the next one. We're not out of this one yet, but the measures you took leading into this, they're either helping you or the fact that you didn't prepare is hindering you now.
Yes.
Wendy, how do folks get in touch with you for more information?
Yeah, give me a call at the Altamont office. The Labatt County Extension office is 620-784-5337.
Okay. Thanks for being with us, and make sure you scold whoever was supposed to be here with you and didn't show up. It's not the truck rollover. It's like I used to tell my kids when they'd come home late, you know, the phones were broke too? Is that what you're trying to tell me? The text was down? Oh, be that as it may. You were delightful, and we've come up with a couple of great new slogans to think about.
That's right.
For
thank you.
Putting on a coffee cup. That's Wendy Powell from K-State Research and Extension. Thanks for being with us here this morning on the Mighty 690 KGGF.